Welcome to SCOTUScast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-decision episode of SCOTUScast. I'm your host, Spencer Caron. On February 3rd, 2021, the Supreme Court decided Federal Republic of Germany versus Philip. The court also issued a one-sentence opinion vacating a lower court ruling in Republic of Hungary versus Simon, a similar lawsuit brought by Holocaust survivors seeking compensation for Hungary's confiscation of Jewish property. The justices sent Hungary versus Simon back to the lower court for further proceedings in light of the opinion in Germany versus Philip. Germany v. Philip arises out of a lawsuit brought by the heirs of several Jewish art dealers who are seeking compensation for what they describe as the forced sale of medieval Christian relics under the Nazi regime. The respondents file a lawsuit in federal court in the District of Columbia, invoking the expropriation exception of the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act, which abrogates foreign sovereignty immunity when rights and property taken in violation of international law are in issue, as the jurisdictional basis for their claims. Germany moved to dismiss, and the district court largely denied the motion, holding the claims fell within the scope of the expropriation exception. Germany appealed, and the U.S. Appeals Court for D.C. affirmed as to jurisdiction, reiterating its holding in a prior case that a genocidal taking is a violation of international law, rejecting Germany's argument based on principles of international comity. In a unanimous ruling, the Supreme Court vacated the lower court ruling that allowed the lawsuit to go forward, agreeing with Germany that the lawsuit does not fall within an exception to the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act, which generally bars lawsuits against foreign governments in U.S. court. Alberto Call, Vincent DePaul Professor of Law at DePaul University College of Law, joins us today to discuss this ruling and its implications.
On February 3, 2021, the Supreme Court of the United States decided the case of Federal Republic of Germany versus Philip. It also disposed of a companion case, Simon versus Republic of Hungary. We're going to look at both of these cases, which address important questions around the federal court's interpretation of the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act of 1976. The case of Philip versus Germany involved heirs of Jewish art dealers who alleged that in the 1930s had been coerced by the Nazi government into selling at a very low price an extremely valuable art collection, the Weltschatz. The Guelph treasure, the legendary Guelph treasure, which to this day is exhibited at Berlin's Bodin Museum. The heirs argued that this forced sale constituted a taking in violation of international law, even though the dealers themselves had been German nationals when the forced sale took place, or at a minimum, they were not nationals of other countries. They argued that this was a taking in violation of international law because it was part of Germany's genocide campaign against the Jewish people. In the case of Simon versus Hungary, the plaintiffs included a number of Holocaust survivors. The claim against Hungary was based on the fact that the Hungarian Railroad Company had been complicit in Nazi Germany's and the then government of Hungary's campaign of genocide against Hungarian Jews. In 1944, as Nazi-occupied Hungary launched a massive campaign of arresting and deporting Hungarian Jews to extermination camps in Nazi-dominated Europe. The Hungarian Railroad Company carried these persons to their extermination camps. In the process of carrying them there, it stripped them of valuable personal property prior to their boarding the cattle cars in which they were transported. Again, the allegation was that these takings of property amounted to takings in violation of international law because they were part of Germany's and Hungary's campaign of genocide against the Jews. Let's look briefly at the Philip case first. The Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act, established by Congress in 1976, establishes a presumption that foreign states are immune from the jurisdiction of the federal courts. In other words, foreign governments cannot be brought before a federal court. The Act, however, also established a number of exceptions, situations in which foreign sovereign immunity will be set aside by the federal courts in order to look at the underlying claims against that foreign state. One of the best known exceptions in the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act is the exception involving property taken in violation of international law. That is, when the underlying claim is that the state in question engaged in a taking of property in violation of international law, then the suit can proceed forward. The defendants in this case, Germany, in the case of Philip, argued that the phrase taking in violation of international law refers to property taken from foreign nationals by a state in violation of internationally recognized principles of adequate and prompt compensation. The plaintiffs, on the other hand, argued that property taken in violation of international law should not be read narrowly as simply meaning a property taken in violation of international law with regards to property taken from foreign nationals. Their argument was that property taken in the course of a genocidal campaign amounts to property taken in violation of international law. Similar claim was made by the plaintiffs in Simon versus Hungary. The Supreme Court of the United States rejected these claims and unanimously ruled that the phrase property taken in violation of international law refers only, indeed, to property takings involving the property of foreign nationals. In the case of Philip versus Germany, since the Jewish dealers were either German nationals or stateless persons, they definitely could not be considered foreign nationals. What Germany did to its own nationals was not a violation of international law and had not been seen in any other light by the framers of the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act. The case raises the question of whether broad international human rights claims, whenever they involve the taking of property, came within the purview of the exception to the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act. And the court most definitely said no. It's an interesting opinion because Chief Justice Roberts, speaking for a unanimous court, lays it down very clearly that the United States would face massive problems if it were to accept and rule on property claims involving human rights violations all over the world. And that therefore, the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act, again, the presumption of which is that foreign sovereign immunity will be observed by the courts of the United States, has exceptions which are to be read narrowly and in the context in which they were adopted. The court very briefly also disposed of the case Simon versus Hungary in a few lines, in line with its reasoning in Germany versus Phillips. The court sent the cases back on remand for a closer look at two questions in both cases, whether, number one, in the case of Germany versus Phillips, the court also could apply comity reasoning to reject the claims of plaintiffs, and also whether indeed the plaintiffs at the time were German nationals. If on appeal the issue had been preserved that at least one of the plaintiffs was not indeed a German national, but a national of another country, then you would have had a violation of international law. In the case of Simon versus Hungary, the court also asked the lower courts to examine the issue of whether indeed these persons were Hungarian nationals at the time of the taking, in which, again, if they were Hungarian nationals, then the property taking, despicable as it might be morally, would not be considered a taking in international law on the basis that under international law, as understood by the courts of the United States and as understood by the drafters of the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act, what a state does to its own nationals in terms of property takings is not a violation of international law. The court thus, by a unanimous opinion, cut back significantly on the hopes of many international human rights advocates who hoped to use the expropriation exception as a means, as the court mentioned, of packaging human rights claims and having U.S. courts hear such claims through the window of the expropriation exception to the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act. The court most definitely closed that door in making it very clear that property taken in violation of international law only means property taken from persons who at the time of the taking were foreign nationals in that country. In this case, they could not be German nationals or Hungarian nationals. Again, under the classical doctrine of international law accepted by the U.S. courts, such takings, however despicable, however much they may have been part of a genocidal campaign, were matters which international law does not consider property taken in violation of international law.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's FEDSOC.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.